Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio On Location. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, on location in Clare, Michigan at Jay's Weber Wildlife and Education Center. We're going to talk about bear safety. It is the season. Let us start with a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to experience your nature. Help us to learn today how to experience it safely. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, listeners, I would not dare do this program by myself. So I invited the Michigan DNR to help me out. I have Dr. Jared Duquette. He is my subject matter expert, and Alan, he's a guide here at Jay's Weber Wildlife and Education Center. Jared, Dr. Jared, thank you so much for coming with here and suggesting that we meet here.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
We're going to have fun today, aren't we?
Absolutely.
We're going to have a little improv, we're going to do some role playing. We're going to meet a bear.
We're going to meet several bears, I think.
All right. And to help us out, we have Alan White. He's the guide here at the Jay's Weber Wildlife Museum. And what an opportunity. I'm so glad that you are here today.
Thank you very much. My friends call me Bubba.
Oh, wow. Hey, Bubba. Hey, tell us a little bit about this museum. This is the first time I have been here, and Scott, who's the manager of the Clare store, suggested, Jared initially suggested we meet at Jay's. What a great idea. It's kind of, Jared, it's kind of cold and nasty outside. We just experienced the ice and the shutdown and so on and so forth. I'd rather not do this in the parking lot.
Yeah, preferably. It's been a hard winter.
That's right. We're ready to come out of hibernation.
Yep.
Good. Well, Al, tell us about this absolutely fantastic nonprofit museum and what was the founding of it.
Wayne Weber was born in Thompsonville, Michigan, down southeast Michigan, and was a successful businessman, but he always had a passion for hunting, and he spent many, many years of his life. He lived to be 88, and our guess is he had about 70 years of hunting, and he amassed a beautiful collection of animals that he hadn't displayed in his Detroit office. And as he got older, he didn't know what he wanted to do with all these, and he had developed a friendship with the owner of Jay's. And so they hatched this plan where Jay's donated the land, and the Weber family built this facility and brought all the animals up and made it absolutely stunningly beautiful. Mr. Weber unfortunately passed away during construction, but he knew exactly what it was going to look like because this was his office. And now it's here to provide education. That's a big factor with Weber, was education, getting young people outdoors, letting people understand how hunting and conservation can go hand in hand. And we tell a lot of different stories here about a lot of different animals whose species benefited greatly from hunting and ethical conservation.
Wow, that's a whole program in itself, isn't it, Jerry?
It really is.
Yeah. Well, you and I have got to do a second rodeo here.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be here. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to working with both of you. But, you know, I'm in this building. I see that this building, at least this main exhibit hall, is about 100 by 100. That's as best I can guess. And it's about 20 feet high or higher. And if you've ever been back in the day, the Grand Rapids Public Museum used to have dioramas. They would have exhibits, and it would have in the background painted is it the fauna and the flora of that particular area, whether it be at the Arctic, which I'm looking at a polar bear even as we speak, and right next to him, definitely it's kind of mind jarring. I'm looking at some sort of deer or antelope or something that's from Africa, and I see a lion and a zebra and a rhino. I get to see the whole universe in just one 180 degree view.
Exactly right. You don't walk very far in here before you've been around the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And above us, if you've ever been in one of those other sporting goods stores, Cabela's, But
never heard of them.
they have an exhibit there, and we definitely have horned sheep all over above us, another 12 feet above us, in every direction. So it's just amazing. How many square feet and how many animals are displayed? Estimating if it has ever been counted.
I don't know the square. I can't give you the square feet. I can tell you there's 160 different species of animals in here, and over 250 individual full body mounts. White-tailed deer alone, we've got 13 in here. Four lions, four Cape buffalo, lots of different really interesting mounts here represented.
And you even have bears.
We do. We have all the bears in North America. We have black bear, two black bears. We have an inland grizzly bear. We do not have a brown bear. And we do have a smaller polar bear.
All right. Well, what a great place to get started. And we're talking about bear safety here. And so we're going to start out this program. So Al and I and Jared are going to take a walk down the trail, and you can walk in between these exhibits. So let's walk down the trail a little bit here. And Jared, kind of tell us where you would like to put us in northern or the upper peninsula that we're going to reproduce here on this walk.
Sure. You know, a trail I think a lot of people know about is the North Country Trail.
It's yes.
Certainly that cuts right through bear country.
Oh, much of it. It's the North Country Trail is the longest trail in the United States, and more of it goes through Michigan than any other part. If I remember correctly, it kind of starts from the southern Michigan, maybe is even southeast Michigan, and then goes right up. It goes by Grand Rapids and up right there, the kind of the west, goes through some beautiful parklands, goes up. I've hiked part of it in the lower peninsula, a little bit of it in the upper peninsula, goes all the way across. How far does it go, guys?
I'm not exactly sure. A long way.
Where does it, do you know where Terminus is? What state?
I believe Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely awesome of northern places. But we're on the North Country Trail. Whereabouts on the North Country Trail would you like to place us? It's your choice. Your
sure.
call.
We're just going to put it up in the northern lower peninsula. That's where we see expanding bear populations and more conflicts every year.
I mean, weren't they always there?
They've always been there, but not as many people have been there.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I actually should step back. We talked about Al's. You've had a few. This is not your first go around.
I lived in Southeast Alaska for a couple of years and had some interactions with brown bear and black bear.
Absolutely. And you were doing that as a police officer, but you told us that police officers up there have a dual role.
We had kind of multiple roles up there. The small community I was in, I was the police officer. I was fish and game. I had to tag and seal brown bears, black bears, marten, wolverine, anything like that.
Wolverine. Well, that's yeah. A Michigan. That makes the Michigan heart beat, right?
Well, sort of. We've got one here in the display. I want to paint it green and white, and they won't let me.
That's an inside joke.
Yeah.
Now, Jared, I'm sorry. You have a responsibility just being a great guy, but besides that.
Yeah, so I work as the Human and Wildlife Interaction Specialist for DNR Wildlife Division. And in that role, I work statewide on all different types of species, including bears. And so with that, I work on things like policy in the state to, you know, try to prevent conflicts from happening or really create coexistence between humans and wildlife. And with that, too, we do things, you know, we do research in that space. We have a big project going on right now trying to get wildlife crossings going in the state like you see out west.
So they don't get isolated and they can go from one territory to the next?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's connecting those wildlife populations, so it's wildlife conservation, but it's also motorist safety too. Yeah, you know, we have just thousands and thousands of animal collisions every year. Oh. And some of those, you know, impact people too.
Yeah, and we want to work on making both species healthy.
That's right. Yeah.
Now You say interaction, I think of that as warm and fuzzy, and that you go up and pet them and whatever, but there's two sides to that coin.
That's right. You know, classically people have always thought, oh, it's the conflict. It's a one-way, you know, negative interaction of some, the wildlife is affecting me, but we affect them just as much. And so we want to talk about how can we use strategies and policies and things to really balance that out and also promote wildlife for good. You know, we enjoy seeing bears. It's great to have geese around. You know, that's, you know, success stories.
And I'm so happy because I grew up near the Kellogg Bird Sanctuary. My grandparents, we'd visit them all the time. And they talked that was a stopping place. There was a concern that they may even become extinct at one point.
Right.
We've been so successful, we have other challenges now. But we've seen some different species come back. It was rare to see at one time even white-tailed deers in parts of the country. Like you said, we're bringing back the eagle, the bald eagle and stuff. But we're on this trail and we need to take a walk.
So, yeah, stretch our legs here.
So yes, right. So Jared, kind of give us a setting of this place. What would be a typical walk on the North Country Trail before we meet this bear encounter?
Sure. Let's say, you know, imagine we're in kind of a pine stand right now.
How tall?
Oh, let's say we're up on a ridge, maybe that's, you know, 20 feet, kind of looking down over like a little wetland area.
Right? Wow, and it's like, yeah. Oh, I know that there's a place up there, trying to remember where it is. It's just the Jordan River Valley. Yeah. Oh, it's just so beautiful. The first time I saw that, I thought, I was this side of heaven, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay, we're on this trail. We're up, raised a little bit. So we just start crunching down the trail?
Yeah, we're just gonna take a little walk down the trail, poke around, maybe see what's down this wetland. Maybe there's some cool birds hanging around down there.
I hear some birds right now.
Yeah, I think, might be some spring warblers in there, you know?
All right.
We'll see, you know? We're just crunching down the trail. And then, we're starting to get down into the below and you get in the willows and I see some cattails off to our left here.
So it's getting a little wet on the other side. I see a little body of water and pond. Do you see any red-winged blackbirds?
Oh, I can hear them, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Well, there is one 20 yards away or so.
Yes. Wow. There's a bear over there.
What do I do?
I'm going to play dead. I'm going to roll over right now.
No, we don't. We only have black bears in the state, so we don't want to play dead. We want to stand up and make ourselves big.
You mean I got to get up?
You do have
Okay. What would happen if I just laid there?
Well, that bear may come sniff you and, kind of think
a little closer than I would like.
Yeah, does he have, maybe play around with you in a way you don't want.
Does he have bad breath?
He could, yeah. I might have just got done, munching on some mushrooms or something and hanging at the moment.
So, okay, okay, I can't lay down.
No.
I got to do something.
Yeah, so we only have black bears in Michigan. We don't have grizzlies. And, a lot of times we hear in the news, you have to, play dead and things. That's only if you run into, a grizzly or a brown bear.
Well, I see one over there.
Yeah.
But that's not where we're at. That's part of the exhibit.
It's part of the exhibit.
Here at Jay's, Weber's.
Yeah, that's a totally different landscape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what we're describing.
Okay, but the bear is still there. Now, there's a cub.
Yeah.
Does that change the formula?
It absolutely changes the formula. Yeah, if we've seen a cub here now, especially during the spring, we want to be very careful that they're still tiny. Mom is going to protect them, just like any good mother should.
Yes, right.
Yeah, we want to back away in a direction that is, one, safe for us, in a slow, keeping your eyes on the bear, making noise to tell mom where you're at the whole time.
So that means that I knew what was behind me. I don't know what's ahead of me. Should I kind of retrace my steps back? But still looking at him.
If the cubs go in a direction where the cubs can quickly reconnect with mom, you don't want to get in between mom and the cubs. That's rule number one. So that may mean standing in the same place. That may mean backing away. That may mean going forward.
Okay.
But keeping your eyes on the bear, remaining big, making noise. And mom's going to want to connect with those cubs. Most of the time, she doesn't want to deal with you.
So you're basically trying to reunite the family.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. You're safer if that happens.
And
then you make your exit there. Yeah. But
I've got Fido. He wants to go and get go see the bears.
Yeah. Well,
do I just let him go and then I'll run off and I'll be safe?
No, absolutely not. No, as long as Fido is on a leash, especially, or even that dog's on a leash, keep that dog close, maybe pick them up
too. Really?
So they don't act as, you know, an aggressor to the bear. The bear doesn't think it's going to be attacked or its cubs are going to be attacked. Yeah, we want to make sure that dog is not a threat. And so that maybe, you know, cover the dog's eyes too so it doesn't see the bear. You may use your shirt to do that or something.
Open up and put your coat around them or windbreaker or something like that.
That's right. Yeah, we want to reduce that perception that that dog or you are a threat.
Okay, well, Fido is under control. Oh, just calming down. Now I got Al here with me, and I got a pan and a spoon. Al, can you share with me how I can scare away that?
Well, the you don't want to surprise the bear. That's the biggest thing. You don't want to surprise
him. Once he sees you, it's okay. Do you make the sound?
Yeah. For a black bear, yeah, you want to be the aggressor with the black bear. The black bear is a bully on a playground. You know, any interaction I've ever had with a black bear, as soon as I stood up to him and yelled at him, they just ran off.
So you don't need the pan.
You can take. I won't say you couldn't use it,
but don't startle him.
I like to hike with a walking stick.
Okay.
And as I'm going, I'll hit the ground. I'll hit trees
intentionally.
If I got a buddy, we'll talk and we just kind of make noise.
I'm here.
Yeah, so you don't want to surprise him. I surprised a brown bear one time and it was really a scary situation.
Oh, well, I'm sure glad that Jer and I have been talking right along here. So mom knows that we're here, and even though we didn't see her in a far enough advance. So we've learned something as we talk. We beat the bushes a little bit. We yell at them a little bit and stuff. And as long as they disappear or go away, or we find an exit route, we're fine. But what if we're back in our campsite? And I shared this with you, Jared, earlier, that even a few of the professional guides, my son was in Kodiak Island and he was hunting bears, and his guide told him to put his food underneath his cot, which is not right. Was a trust but verify type of thing. What if,
you know, they write things about people that do that. They're called eulogies.
Thank you.
So you know.
Okay, well, I'm glad. So we aren't going to do that. So what do we do at our campsite to be more bear smart?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is prevention with anything. And the biggest thing is keeping your food away from there. Bears think with their stomach. And especially during the spring or going into fall, you know, they're trying to eat as much as they can.
Food is a big deal to them.
That food is a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal to me too. So think about it that way. Think like a bear. Anything that may bring a bear in, I mean, they can smell for miles away if you have the right type of food. And so it's keeping your food hung up away from your campsite. If you have a cooler, try to use a lockable cooler, things like that. Don't put it in your tent. Keep it away, 100 yards or something like, if you can,
You know, that makes me think of something else, and this is not on the camp site, but it could be that the grills.
Yes.
People say that even in your backyard, if you happen to be on the edge of town, or maybe if you're up in the UP, the bears are all around you. Don't have to be. They could come into town. That some people think that if they close their grill, they're safe. Right?
No, it's that smell. If you've ever driven past like a fast food place and you smell, that's what the bears are doing too, but they can do it from miles away.
And their smell is how many times greater than ours?
It's greater than a dog's even.
And so, that's huge. They can hear to smell 20 times or whatever times more than we can and absolutely. Such.
You know, you mentioned the cooking grill, and that's very important, but having lived in this life, one of the things that I see is people would be really good about not having any food in the tent. They'll eat away from camp. They'll keep their food away from camp. Then they have the fire right in the middle of the camp where they're cooking their s'mores and their hot dogs. And the scent can stay there too. Anything with food should be well away from your tent.
So
even the fire itself, anything.
Wow. So you have to rearrange the layout of your campsite to not invite bears right to the middle, because you usually say, hey, I got to stay warm. I want to be close to the tent. I want to have light.
Well, that way you'll have some warning. If you're in the tent or you're close to the tent and you hear a bear, clear over where the fire is, a long way from the, you have time to prepare.
Okay. Now, the DNR and your job is talking about interactions. What are those rules of thumb? They have kind of like a little list of items that you recommend that we memorize or think about?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with black bears here in the state. You know, one is thinking like a bear.
How do you think like a bear?
Think with your stomach.
Okay, yeah, there you go, there you go.
Wake up in the morning, put yourself in the bear's, you know, mindset, like you're hungry, I'm going to the refrigerator, and they're constantly looking for that refrigerator. So, you know, think about that when you're outdoors.
Makes me think of Yogi Bear. Now, kids don't watch Yogi Bear much, but he was always looking for that picnic basket.
That's right. Yeah, and it's not just campsites or hiking, too. We have people, you know, that have cabins, too, and they may leave food out or leave food in the refrigerator. And a bear, you know, we get calls about bears trying to break into cabins and things, too. So think about that, too, you know, if you have a structure as well.
What advice do you have for those cabin owners?
The biggest thing, you know, get a door that's durable.
Okay.
The biggest thing, you know, preferably like a metal door. You can get these little electric mats if you're, you know, active there.
Oh, really? Never heard of that.
Yeah, so we were starting to implement those around beehives and things here in the state, too.
So they touch it and get it.
That's right. Yeah, and you can do electric fences and things, too, you know, around campsites.
Really? Electric? Okay, I see. Yeah.
So there's tools out there to do that. But once again, you know, it's thinking about, you know, the mentality of the season too. A bear's coming out of a den right now. You know, they will den in rock crevices. They will den on cattail marshes, all different types of places.
What do you look for? Yeah. How do you, I mean, I can't remember a time I've seen a bear den in Michigan.
Yeah.
What does it look like?
Yeah, they look like all different types of things. Sometimes they'll den under big brush piles. They're kind of opportunistic, really, on what's on the landscape.
They don't care if the roof leaks?
No. Not too much. Just the biggest thing is the snow buildup and, you know, trying to stay out of the rain as much as possible.
So we're recording this in the spring, and what is the time frame? Many of us are down south. Most of our listeners are down south. What do we need to know?
Yeah, the biggest thing right now is just being mindful. They're going to be coming out of what we call torpor. They actually truly don't hibernate.
Right.
So you'll actually see bears come out during the winter sometimes. You'll see tracks in the snow, and then they'll go back into the den, which is kind of neat.
How do you know what a bear track is? Is it just like a big fat paw with claws?
Yeah, when you see a bear track, you will know it.
Okay.
Yeah. If you were to put your hand in the snow, kind of think about, you know, something that size with claws and that. So.
What time do they give their birth to their babies? That's while they're in the tuber?
Yeah, while they're in the den, they'll give birth. So around, you know, February-ish time, they're going to give birth in there and then emerge with their cubs, you know, once the weather turns good for them.
Okay. How many cubs will they have?
Generally 1 to 3 is what we've seen. And it just kind of depends on the year, how much food is there for them, how many cubs that they'll have. So.
And what do they eat?
So they're omnivorous, you know, so they're going to eat plants, they're going to eat meat, you know, they'll scavenge. Sometimes they will eat like deer fawns, a few of those. And,
ooh,
you know, occasionally we've seen that through our research, but mainly they're plant eaters for the most part.
They're going after the berries.
The berries. And if everybody's seen like Jack in the Pulpit.
Yes.
They love Jack in the Pulpit.
So that's why we don't have as many as we'd love to see.
Maybe, yeah. And ant mounds, you'll see them tear into ant mounds out in the woods too.
You're really desperate if you're going after ants.
They're mainly going after high protein sources if possible.
All right. We talked about conflicts. Is there anything more? Well, that's what our program is talking about, safety. But any other thoughts? Al, do you have anything that we missed?
Just make sure that when you're out taking in everything, silence isn't always golden. Keep your making some noise. And
unless you're bird hunting.
Unless you're, well, yeah. common sense.
Okay.
You know, but the common sense will get you most places.
When do these happen? Would these encounters happen the most often, or when are they most severe? Like, can you guys kind of work on that question?
Yeah, we actually collect data. The DNR collects data on those.
You got a graph?
Okay, what? We do by year. Actually, 2025, the bears were really well behaved.
Okay.
You know, like the past 5 years.
We'll hope they'll behave that again.
We hope so.
Set that new standard.
Yeah, but it's really, you know, coming out of the den, they're hungry. They haven't eaten anything in 4 months or so. So they're going to be hungry. And then fall, they go into hyperphagia. They're eating a lot, trying to get fattened up to go into the dens. So spring and fall
are the most dangerous times.
Yeah.
What months would you call that? It depends on how far north you are?
Yeah, it all depends, you know, especially this year in the UP. I mean, they're going to have 6 feet of snow to bury.
All right.
So, yeah, it just depends, you know, where you're at in the state is the biggest thing.
I don't know that it's the same here in Michigan as it was in Southeast Alaska, but first thing in the spring, all the bears went to wherever there was green grass. I've had people tell me
that they just eat grass?
That it's like starts off their eating year. We would look for slide areas, but wherever there was new green grass, the early spring bears, is that true in Michigan?
Yeah, absolutely. They're just opportunistic, and whatever's available, they're going to
what comes up first, which is usually that. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, well, listeners, we're here at the Jays Weber Wildlife Museum, and I would like Al to tell us about how to get here and some of the particulars.
Well, one of the reasons that Mr. Weber picked this spot is it's right smack dab in the middle of lower Michigan, and it's where US 10 and 127 come together, and it's we're halfway to everywhere in lower Michigan. So it's a great place. If you're on the way up north, it's a great stopping place. We have people make this a tradition now. They're on their way up north for the weekend, on the way to the cabin, whatever they're doing, and they stop in Clare, maybe get a bite to eat, run into Jay's, of course.
Get a little fuel,
and this will burn some energy out of the kids to run around in here a little bit.
Absolutely. What is the rate for the tickets?
It's $6 for children and seniors. It is $6 for military veterans or active duty, and $10 a piece for everybody else.
Absolutely. And Dr. Jared, tell me about the DNR and what you can present that we can interface with them.
Sure. Yeah, we offer all types of different educational opportunities, whether it be for kids in the classrooms, up to adult opportunities. I travel all over the state doing engagements with various audiences to learn more about all the things that we do, from forestry to wildlife to law enforcement, you name it.
How do they get a hold of you to ask them to come to their church or school or youth group?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can hit us up on social media. I believe we have Instagram and Facebook. You can message us there, or else you can shoot us an email right off the DNR website, and somebody will get back with you as soon as possible.
Oh, great. Well, I'm Tom Majeure on location here at the Jays Weber Wildlife Museum, and I'm here with Dr. Jared Duquette. He's the Interaction with Wildlife Division Specialist, and I'm here with Al White. He's the guide here at the museum. We've had a wonderful time. You've heard a few guests here. We're here on a Monday early morning, mid-morning, and there's people here even in March, and we're looking forward to you taking the opportunity to experience this also. God bless until we meet again. For the Strong Tower Radio Network, I'm Tom Majeure. Bye now.